You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Good morning. Welcome to another segment of Monday Morning Live, the Facebook stream, and Monday Morning Live, the podcast. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League. And now, as always, I'll remind our viewers to, if you have questions for us while we're doing this, feel free to post them in the comments below. We'll answer them as they come in, or we'll answer them after the podcast airs. If you're not able to get to it right away, we'll respond to you there. So today I'm joined by John LaMacchia in our Lansing office and Emily Kalaszewski in our membership office department, I guess.
Also in Lansing.
Also in Lansing. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us on this Veterans Day, November 11th. A snowy, blistery day here in Michigan. Took me about an hour and a half to get here today from my home in Flint, so that was fun. But we made it. We're all safe and sound. So thank you for joining us, Emily and John.
Yeah, happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, Happy Veterans Day, for sure. Is it veterans or veterans? I always say veterans.
I think you could say either.
Okay.
It would be fine.
So let's start off with you, Emily. You have some really exciting things going on with our 1650 project, and we have a couple different events that have happened and some things coming up. Tell us a little bit about what the program is and where we're at with things now.
Sure. So the 1650 Project is an initiative that the League kicked off in 2018 aimed at getting more women in the top municipal spot, the chief local government administrative official. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So essentially city manager, village manager, township manager positions. The capstone really of that project is the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. It's a 5-month long training opportunity for women to get some skill building in critical topics like municipal finance, budgeting, economic development, council manager relationships, interviewing and negotiating. We also pair that with leadership and executive development in the afternoon of each of those sessions. And this year, all of our participants will also receive a mock interview that would be in the style of a local government manager position interview, which looks a little different than regular.
Is it like with a panel of people sometimes?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. So the way we've set it up, we've got some peers from around the state. A lot of our managers are volunteering their time to come in and give mock interviews to their peers and give real-time feedback, which is super important in these positions in particular. But most of the time when you're interviewing for a city manager position, it's a public meeting. It's in front of an elected body.
Yeah, so that is different than
a little different, yes. So we're really proud of that program. This is our second year that we have put it on. Our first program, our first group of graduates graduated at Capital Conference last year. And in the 8 months following that program, the end of the program, 5 women have gone on to lead Michigan communities.
Wow, so we had like 5 graduates actually attain their goals.
Yeah, and what's great about this project in particular, good morning, Linda. what's so great about this project in particular is that we're not just talking about it and hoping something happens. We're not just raising awareness. We're actually making something happen, and we're doing it quickly. We're seeing change happen very, very quickly with the things that we're able
to do.
That's
exciting.
It
really
is.
So we had like 25 in the first class, and we're now in midstream with the next group?
Yes. We've got 28 in the second group. They're meeting for the next 2 months, so November and then again in December, and they will graduate at Capital Conference as well. So we're really thrilled by the success of the program. We've got a number of states who are replicating the program, Texas most recently.
That is cool.
And I was able to speak about it at ICMA's conference in Nashville.
Yeah, what was that like?
Last month. It was amazing.
You were on stage, like it was a general session, it looked like, right?
It was not a general session.
Oh, it was a big audience anyways.
Maybe next year for a general session. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Until you're in a crowd of people from all over the United States and globally, really, I had no idea what kind of impact the 1650 Project has had and then the amount of interest that people had in what we're doing.
Right.
And I was hearing about it from people who didn't know I was from Michigan all throughout the conference, which is amazing.
They were talking about your program to you.
Yes. I hadn't even heard about 1650 in Michigan. So that was really amazing. But also what's amazing is that there were so many people reaching out afterwards, after that presentation, who wanted to institute institute a program in their communities. I had, you know, people from Australia who gave me their business card and said, we want to do this, you know, here.
That
so
is very cool.
It is really cool. What we're doing makes a difference. It makes a difference quickly. And there are a lot of places that are trying to replicate it. So
one of the things that I attended a few of those sessions, and one of the things that struck me the most was it's not just about giving them the basic skills, it's also helping them with their confidence level. Because a lot of the times they come in and they don't think they're maybe qualified because they'll look at the long list of all the things that are needed and they'll say, well, I'm good in all eight of those things, but these other two, I'm not so good.
Right.
But it's really about instilling that confidence and letting them know that they can do it.
Well, I think one of the biggest steps that we can take, both as a 1650 Project, but really for women as a whole, is that difference between men and women when it comes to applying for jobs. Women feel like they have to meet 100% of the qualifications that an employer lists.
Yeah.
While men, you know, might not feel like they need to have 100% of the qualities and will go ahead and apply.
Yeah.
So even in talking about it and hearing that, I think our eyes are opened in the room, the women who attend the program, but even, you know, just women in general who hear those statistics, I think, you know, start to think about themselves and sort of their limiting beliefs as they're proceeding through their career trajectory.
Right.
So talking about it helps, building that confidence helps, and building a network of women to support other women. It's really amazing to see the number of managers, women managers who are currently doing the work in Michigan, who join us for sessions as panelists, as speakers, who, you know, show up time and time again and give of their time to help support other women in the profession. It's really amazing and humbling to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said before, I mean, it's really cool that in such a short period of time, the program has really taken off and become almost a national, not almost, it is a national model. It's pretty exciting.
It is really exciting. I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of here at the League is that this is a project that we decided we were going to do, and it wasn't just about awareness, it was actually about action.
Right.
And to see the change happening and to see it happen quickly and the enthusiasm that sort of surrounded the project is really inspiring.
Yeah, it really is, really is. So another big program you're working on is through our Municipal League Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we have a Giving Tuesday thing, which Giving Tuesday is usually it's always the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we have like Black Friday and Low Shop Local Saturday and all these different things. And then there's Giving Tuesday. So talk us a little what we plan to do with that this year.
So we are so thankful that the Michigan Municipal League Foundation has sponsored the 1650 Project and has also selected the 1650 Project to be the campaign or the initiative that they're raising funds for through Giving Tuesday.
Wow, that's great.
So Tuesday, December 3rd is Giving Tuesday. We have Black Friday. We have Cyber Monday. We have Shop Small Saturday. Giving Tuesday has a little bit different of a focus. It's about really celebrating the holiday season by giving back and creating the change we want to see in the world.
Right.
So this year, you can give on Giving Tuesday or even in advance to the 1650 Project. This is really powering women leaders. It makes a difference in our communities. Strong leaders, it means strong communities, means a stronger Michigan. And what we're doing works. We're able to show that it works quickly. So we hope that, you know, through this campaign, more people hear about the 1650 Project and we're able to raise critical funds so that we can continue offering this program to women for years to come.
And we should note that most of the participants, all the participants, there's no charge to them. So we do fund that through the people's donations is very important.
Right. I think that's surprising to most people. It's a 5-month program, the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. But 1650 has a lot of different things that we do programmatically, not just that women's program.
Right.
Although that's the largest piece of it.
Yeah.
And I think what's most surprising to people is that that's completely funded, you know, by us and through our donors and through sponsors like the Michigan Municipal League Foundation. We want to make sure that there are less barriers for women to enter this profession. And we really sort of live that out when we talk about the financial barrier to some of this professional development. We realize that municipalities' budgets are strapped, and we also realize that women typically in this level, department head level, or at this stage in their careers, might not have access to a leadership coach or an executive coach, or are able to attend these types of things and can afford it. So we really have decided that we want to keep the cost completely free to the women who want to participate and the women who are accepted to participate. And we're able to do that because of sponsors like the foundation and all of the donations that come in on Giving Tuesday.
Right. And you mentioned that the program is multifaceted. You recently spoke at University of Michigan to students about maybe that were interested in going into municipal executive level work as a profession.
Right. Well, what we found when we talked to universities, and specifically the Ford School, University of Michigan, has been amazing to work for, or work with, I should say. What we found is that MPA students or MPP students typically are leaving with their graduate degrees and go to DC, or they want to work in the nonprofit sector. They don't necessarily consider local government as an option.
What's MPP, MA, what's that?
So an MPA is a master's in public administration or a master's in public policy. So we realize we're losing a lot of those students to Washington, D.C., or the nonprofit sector. And students aren't necessarily thinking of local government as the ultimate nonprofit that we all know it to be.
Right.
And so we really work hard to form partnerships with universities to talk about the 1650 Project and give students a real glimpse into what a career in local government management could look like. So we bring in, at U of M, we had five speakers. We had five women currently in the profession who came in and talked about their path to local government and talked about a career in this arena. And then we also give them real life local government challenge scenarios that they walk through with a panelist. So we break up the room into groups and our panelists work one-on-one with different groups to talk about something that they've encountered in their career.
Right.
And then we open it back up to a question and answer session and a greater dialogue on local government, because most of the time, you know, students might not even know what a city manager is or does.
Okay.
So we have had great success. This is our second year at the University of Michigan, and we've got to give a big shout out to the Ford School for helping us put that together. We had, I want to say close to 70 students there again this year,
so great turnout.
Yeah. And it really is helping sort of attack the issue of women in the local government leadership pipeline in different ways. So we train women, we recruit women, and we also work to end gender bias. And we're really working on putting some toolkits together so that all of our communities can make gender equity a reality.
Great, great. So it's multifaceted. It's such an exciting program. Thank you for talking about it. And feel free, I'm going to shift now to talk politics, the boring stuff with John, or the exciting stuff with John, even more exciting stuff, I should say. Feel free to chime in on that, too. So, John, we had a lot of stuff going on here in Lansing. We thought maybe there was going to be some kind of a budget deal, perhaps last week, and now it looks like maybe this week. The budget was supposed to be approved by October 1st, right?
Yeah.
And we're still talking about it. So what's happening? What's the latest? So
this is the exact opposite of things happening quickly.
So the budget was approved on October 1st, but the governor, through the administrative board process, was able to shift some of those funds around in addition to her vetoes. And so the legislature has been going back and forth on how to deal with that. And just last week, there was an apparent deal, or at least what we thought to be a deal, particularly between the governor and the Speaker of the House, Lee Chatfield. As the Senate was reviewing those negotiations, there's one sticking point that is still out there, and that is her actual authority to move money within the administrative board process. The Senate Republicans would like to get into statute and limit that authority rather than what the governor and the Speaker had agreed on, which was really using boilerplate language, which is a one-time solution to that.
So this is an authority that the past governors have had, but maybe they've not used it in the past, or what's different now?
Yeah, well, one, there might not have been a need to use it. So the authority for the governor to do this exists. It's just never been utilized in this fashion. It hadn't been utilized since Governor Engler utilized it for a very different fashion decades ago. And so we're in new territory.
And the legislature says, we don't like you using it, so we're going to limit what you can do with that potentially.
And this is divided government at its finest in some ways.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a learning process to how you deal with that. It's the first budget that she's had to go through, the first budget the legislature's had to go through with her as the governor, and we're seeing the ups and downs and the challenges of that.
Yeah.
And hopefully after this year, it'll smooth out a little bit. We'll keep getting increases in revenue sharing, and we'll go forward.
Right. What kind of is the impact potentially on our members right now as far as revenue sharing?
There's no direct impact to the revenue sharing that we saw on the increase that's been out there. But at the same time, I'm getting a note that my mic is weird.
I should just adjust your collar there. Yeah, it looks like
that's better. Is that better? Okay, I'll do my best to make sure this works well. But directly for us, statutory revenue sharing was not impacted by any of our
vetoes. Okay,
there were some secondary services that take place in the county that have impacted the way our municipalities, cities, and villages interact with county services. But in general, we've been okay. But at the end of the day, you're still talking about revenue and dollars that is going into, whether that be locals or schools or other services that the state works with others to provide, that's being impacted. Okay. And getting over that hurdle and solving those problems is incredibly important.
Right. All right. Okay, so what's going on with transportation stuff? I think you were working on, there's a package of bills out there. What's happening with that?
Yeah, so transportation funding, set that aside for a second, because much like the budget is not being talked about.
Right.
Which is not a good thing.
Okay.
But we continue to push for that in terms of a long-term solution. But both the Senate and the House have introduced about 10 bills each to deal with transportation reform. The two that I always talk about first is the fact that Representative O'Malley and Representative Sneller in the House want to add additional local taxing authority around gas tax and registration fees.
Okay.
So we're very supportive of those bills. We actually had a meeting on them last week to actually get into the nuts and bolts of the operation of how a local gas tax may work. So we're very hopeful that with those two representatives' leadership, we're going to have some movement on those in the near future. The Senate has a whole different package of bills, which deals more with the local warranty program that's out there, deals with asset management, even deals with some federal dollars that come into the state and then make their way down into local road agencies that we're working with right now. I got to give Senator Barrett a lot of credit. I've met with him multiple times. He's actually been very gracious, not only in his time, but also his willing to make adjustments on behalf of our suggestions for our members. There's still a few pieces that we need to get home on, but right now the changes that we've made have been very positive for us, which hopefully at the end of the day will continue to provide flexibility at the local level in terms of how we do our business.
Okay. Now, I heard on NPR coming in this morning that there's some bill out there regarding that Governor Snyder vetoed about some kind of vehicle that's not allowed on the road, and they want to be on the road. Do you know what that's all about, or what that is?
Well, you should have told me about this.
I threw you a fastball there.
That's a curveball. We're talking baseball, I'm not aware of that.
I don't know what it was either. Basically, the governor had vetoed it, and now they're reintroducing. It has to do with some kind of vehicle to be able to drive in the street. But I missed what kind of vehicle it was, and the governor turned it down because he said that was not an intended street vehicle. I don't know if it's a moped or something, or
thanks for
a go-kart.
Yeah,
really help out. Maybe it's one of those beer peddling things. I don't know. We'll just edit that part out of the program here today.
I'm confident to say that if it's out there, I would know about it if it impacted municipal government. So I feel pretty confident right now.
It just popped in my little head.
Right,
so
thanks,
one thing I know you do know about is you recently testified on a bunch of different bills regarding communities' liability and intense rainfall situations. What's that all about?
I did. So this is House Bill 4692, to be specific, sponsored by Representative Garza. And again, I've talked highly about some other legislators today. Representative Garza has done a tremendous job, quite frankly, taking this issue on. It's an issue we've been battling for about three sessions now, almost 5 years, which is more than half of my career at the league. I've been involved in this issue.
Yeah.
And at its core, we know that municipal water systems, particularly on the stormwater side, are...
Hold that. We only have 2 minutes left.
Does he need to switch off the other mic?
Okay, she said no. Don't even worry about that. We're just talking to that.
So I'll just hold this one. thanks, Betsy. So we've dealt with this for a while, as I was saying. And what we know is that municipal water systems, particularly water systems that handle stormwater, are only built to handle so much.
Sure.
There are going to be times where it just rains so much, the system won't be able to handle it. And unfortunately, basements will flood.
Yeah.
And it's not a result that any of our residents want to see. It's definitely not a result that any of our managers, our council members, our DPW directors want to see. And we do everything that we can to prevent that. But in those cases where it's not preventable, and in those cases where the system's capacity is actually exceeded. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about capacity, it's very specific. The state regulates this through permits and other avenues to make sure that we do have a design that balances both cost and performance. And so what we know is there have been some very specific cases where it's rained so much, Oakland County being an example, a very specific example in 2014, where they got a 330-year storm, 7-plus inches of rain,
mm-hmm.
And there is a
myriad of lawsuits out there suing these communities and these events. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do is not take away and give blanket government immunity. We still want to make sure that if the community was negligent for whatever reason it may be, and they were more than 50% the result of this, that they would maintain their liability. But in those extreme situations, those intense rainfall events that we know exceed the system's capacity, they shouldn't be held liable because there's nothing that we could do to prevent it. We did everything that the state asked us to do. And so Representative Garza has been out in front and quite frankly, taking a beating in some cases on this. And so I got to give him a lot of credit for standing up and doing the right thing and understanding that he's got to create some balance or help us create some balance in the system.
Right. Okay. Well, good, John. Well, thank you, John and Emily. Anything you guys want to add that I maybe forgot to ask about?
I don't think so.
I got it today.
Usually it's
like, yeah, man, you forgot to do that. I'm like,
And again, happy Veterans Day.
Yes.
And big thanks to the MML Foundation. Keep an eye out on our social media. We'll be sending out some emails as well for our Giving Tuesday campaign for 1650.
Great.
And that's all I have to add.
Our next Monday Morning Live is Monday, November 25th. So please tune in that. Then it will be the week of Thanksgiving, but we'll be here that Monday. So until then, thank you for watching and listening. Monday Morning Live, the podcast and Facebook feed.
Thanks, Matt.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org. And join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.